You're listening to 3 Men and a Mic on NWMissouriNews.com. I'm Brandon Zenner, joined along with Tyler, and we finally got Chris back in the booth with us this week.
But he'll be gone later.
Yeah, I'll have to leave early. Sorry about that.
That's okay. He still gave us his picks. And
they're good picks.
They were all right.
Great insight.
They're insightful.
I'm excited to see what Brody and Sausage have to say. What word on the street has it, they're big 2K players. So
I'm a little disappointed they can't be here for that, but duty calls.
How much we bet they mentioned Kyle Korver about 3 or 4 times? Over under on that.
Over under. I'll go over.
I'll go under.
I'm going over. They're high schoolers.
That's true. They'll go.
They're goofballs. And like we said, we're gonna have Brody McMahon and Jacob Sosick on the show with us later. Recent commits to Northwest Bearcat football from the hometown Maryville Spoofhounds, 2-time state champions while they were there. So we're really excited to have them and with us this week.
Big signing day yesterday.
Big signing day. What do you guys take away from that?
Well, they got 32. And I don't know now. If you just heard, Chris, we just got 2 more from Orlando.
Yeah, the
two
brothers.
Twins sounds like Dixon twin, Deja Vu.
Yeah, they're both the same size. I think one was 6'1", 175. The other was 6', 175. Basically, one plays safety, one plays corner, really 1 inch different. I think they'll both play corner. Who knows what Coach Darrell and this regime will have them do. But, yeah, it sounds like kind of a Dixon twin type deal. Don't want to, like, give them that pressure type mentality, but it sounds like a Dixon twin type mentality coming up from Florida.
They're down that same area, too, so they've talked about how the Dixons coming out of there and being the success that they've had coming into the NFL, coming out of Florida. It's really helped them on a recruiting trail down there. And we saw we had 7-9 guys signed from Wisconsin. What's up with that?
No, it was only 2.
Oh, well.
But this was the first. It's definitely a pipeline now because, that in Florida is a new pipeline.
Yep.
In Wisconsin, this was the first time that they actually stepped on foot in Wisconsin. Like they took a coach up there and scouted, and he said yesterday in his press conference that he recruited 500 Florida players.
Wow.
So I mean, that's how many players he watched. He's doing some work. He's stretching out his horizons. I think it's all part of a master plan. We'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, I think that's key. Even though you look at D2 signing days, obviously on the national scale, not a big of a day. D1 national signing day, but to get into states like Florida and getting into Wisconsin, even though it's only a couple states away. But you're broadening the grasp. I think D2 football has, and Northwest is the biggest, probably well-known school in D2. I mean, you have Valdosta, Grand Valley, Pitt State, teams like that too. But Northwest is almost kind of competing with those small D1 schools, I think, for some of the recruits. Because D2, maybe some guys think they'll be able to play more than they would at the D1 level. Who knows? But I see them competing with small D1 schools, too.
He actually mentioned that. One of the dudes from Wisconsin, I think he's a D-end, Andy something. I can't remember.
Andy Kessler?
Yes, right? I think that's right. He had to fight off FCF schools and all those top D2 programs up there, and, you know, Northwest prevailed with him. It's just quite the job he's doing right now in terms of recruiting.
You think he realizes, Doral, that is the gap that they're going to be needing to fill in the next couple of years with the middle linebacker position? Yeah, I mean, you saw we had a number of linebackers that signed yesterday, and we have big, big key names, obviously, that are going to go down to some of the best ever to play here, and Reimer, Nader, Mathewson's gone now, and they got a couple more players that are going to be sticking around this year. You got Brock Sherman that's still going to be around, but bringing those guys in to get them to learn while we still have a good amount of talent at that position, you can definitely tell that they're still putting an edge on trying to keep that front seven intact.
Yeah, and they redshirt 97% of their players on a year-to-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't shy yesterday of saying, I may not redshirt some of these guys. And I thought that was very different than usual, different philosophy. And I think it speaks to how much they've lost at linebacker and tight end. They signed a number of tight ends yesterday. You know, they'll be pretty loaded with the guys coming back on D-line again. All they lost was long anchor, I think. And they had, you know, they had numerous backups that played last year a lot. I think they don't have the best of expectations as of right now, like what everyone's talking about. But I'm starting to think that this team's heading in the right direction rather than the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think you brought up the main points and the same thing we brought up yesterday in the press conference, that linebacker, tight end, very important key parts of this team. You see it week in and week out in the season. Tight ends used so many different ways. I mean, you had Marcus Wright this past year, had Joel Gantz before. Big tight ends. Gantz was more of a blocking tight end, though. Wright was able to go downfield, but they want a mobile blocking tight end, and that's why you see them recruiting a lot of these guys. And then linebacking core, you guys already touched on it. Linebacking corps probably became the biggest part of that defense for Northwest, and obviously it's the biggest part of defense anyway. But it seems like that's the part they're really keying in, because they don't have to worry about the defensive front right now. You still have Yost and Bevins and guys like that up front. And then the secondary, they're still going to be okay back there. But, yeah, the linebacking corps, I think, is what they really had to target, and they did that.
And one thing that was key for them to do this year is – He's always done a good job of it since he's been here, Doral has, of making sure that his hometown guys stay in their hometown. With Brody and Jacob, they both are some of the best players to come through Maryville in the past decade, if not ever, especially with Brody. I mean, all the records that he holds at that school and all the things that he's done to get them to state championships and carry them on that 42-game win streak. He's done a good job of proving that while it may be quick, you growing up here your whole life, you want to go try something new. He's really built this program on the backs of Bostwick and Churchma, of what they did, of keeping that family mentality, keeping it you play for your community, you play for your family, and your team is like your family. And that's a good thing that he's done to make sure that he's not letting people who may be stars coming out of this university or this high school and making sure that they're staying at this university.
No doubt.
Yeah, and especially with McMahon, I mean, all the records, I mean, that he compared him to Billy Creason, which Creason was pretty good back. He had some injuries, but Creason, as a senior year, really fought through that national championship run. Creason, big back. Brody's not that big yet, but he could get that size of a back that Creason was, and Sosik's a great player as well on the offensive front. And he played defensive front as well in high school. So, I mean, you have two key players that are coming in this recruiting class, I think.
And piggybacking off our own signing day, more talking about college, we got NFL draft coming up in a couple months. And Todd McShay's latest mock draft came out today, mock draft 2.0. And now he's got the Chiefs taking Dorial Green-Beckham, something that Mel Kiper did in his first installment of the mock draft. What are you guys' thoughts on that? A guy we saw, he had a little bit of trouble as soon as he got to Mizzou. Obviously, after his second year there, getting ready to come back for his junior year, and he had those kind of problems, wasn't able to get on and play down in Oklahoma. Is this something that the Chiefs, he has potential. There's no doubt about that. Whether it's going to pan out or not, we'll see, because he's had all these issues. But is this type of talent, this raw talent that you've seen, he obviously has. We saw him have 15 touchdowns his sophomore year at Mizzou. Is that something that you got to pull the trigger on if it's there?
Now, I'm a second chance kind of guy, but at the same token, I'm not necessarily a second chance kind of guy in the first round of the draft. I'm not sure, because the Chiefs were so bad with receivers last year, okay? They need immediate help. He's probably pretty raw at the moment, considering he hasn't played in over a year. You know, he grew up in Missouri, so he'll have a good support system, but I'm not sure that support system has done him so well this far in his life. And so that could be a problem, or it could be a benefit. I'm leaning more towards a problem. He's already had problems at Mizzou. And from a lot of Mizzou fans or Chiefs fans, I don't know if they'd like to see he already broke their hearts once. I don't know if he wants it again, if they want that again. So I think as a Chiefs fan base, they'd be pretty split on it. I'm leaning a little more towards they probably wouldn't like it. I'm not a huge proponent of it with it being such a deep wide receiver draft. Chris, what do you think?
It sounds good on paper to bring Green Beckham to Kansas City in the first round, but to me, I don't think you do it. I don't think he's a guy you'll take in the first round. He has all the raw talent. You guys already talked about it. He has a talent. We've seen it at Mizzou. We've seen how explosive he can be. His size, his quickness, but the off-the-field issues, he knows he has to grow up from them. But is he going to? That's the key thing. And you brought up the point that he's the home state kid. If he comes into Kansas City, he's from Missouri. The support group's there. Now, was the college incidents just part of the college thing where he was experiencing, quote, the college life too much and he just let it get away from him? I don't know. But I think with Beckham, you do not pull the trigger in the first round on him. You don't pick him with that first pick. There's a lot of receivers in the draft. You could get one in the second, get one in the third, heck, get one in the fourth, fifth. You can grab three or four receivers in this draft because it's pretty deep receiving class this year. So maybe go after I want them to have a receiver, but maybe go after another key part of your team in the first round and not go for that receiver in Green Beckham in the first round and get two or three more later in the draft.
Yeah, I saw a mock draft that had K-State's Lockett in the third or fourth round. That I feel like that's a good deal that late. I wouldn't if they do. They better in the first round. They better either go wide receiver or offensive line.
No doubt.
That's all I'm saying.
Whenever you get down to the Chiefs, the thing that I think that they kind of need to pull the trigger on somebody. They have five wide receivers, four or five wide receivers right now going ahead of them. I mean, they got. Let's see who they got. They got Amari Cooper. They got Devin Smith out of Ohio State, who we see is amazing when it comes to getting the deep ball. They've got Devontae Parker out of Louisville and Kevin White out of West Virginia. Whenever you're getting down there, I mean, while we've said that offensive line, obviously, and wide receiver is a big key, especially with what Chris brought up, with him being in the home state, I just think while, obviously, from a Mizzou fan standpoint, it was killer to see what he did to us this year. If he's on that team, who knows where they go? They don't lose to Indiana. I can't speak for Georgia because we gave up 39 points on them defense and didn't score on offense. So who knows what that would have been. But personally, you can't compare him to Albert Pujols. Completely different analogy. But seeing Albert Pujols go from Maple Woods and seeing him go across state and seeing what he did from being a Royal standpoint, that hurts. I don't want to see a guy who's down from Springfield, played his ball 2 hours from Kansas City. I don't want to see him go anywhere else and have a successful NFL career. If I want to see him go and making 12, 14 touchdowns a year and catching 1,500 yards, I want to see him doing it at Arrowhead Stadium 8 times a year.
But I don't – there's so many ifs with him that it's not the same as Ryan Mallett, but it's kind of the same scenario where Mallett hurt himself so much before the draft with those character issues off the field, his attitude towards everything. Mallett at one point could have been first-round pick. He falls to the third round because of character issues, New England grinding, now he's in Houston. It's different scenarios, but it's still the ifs about them. Can Green Beckham become a leader on the outside? Can he learn from his mistakes, move forward, and not get trapped back into the mistakes? Because the NFL, most of the time, will be pretty swift in their judgment and suspensions with
especially
players.
Especially now.
Yeah, now they will be. In the past, they've been a little hesitant about suspensions. But now they're really going to crack down because of all the fiascos they've had to deal with this year. And if Green Beckham gets himself in trouble, it could be the end pretty quickly. You can see a Josh Gordon-type deal where Gordon's sitting out for a year without pay because he's constantly violating drug violations in the NFL.
Because once you fail a drug test, whether it's in college or not, you're automatically tested like every week in the NFL.
Yeah.
So they'd be quick to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had some quick issues with Dwayne Bowe last year, especially whenever we had to miss him. And luckily, we haven't seen any of those issues pan out more since it's going to be interesting either way, because no matter what we're going to be saying, we need a wide receiver, we need offensive linemen. They might want to grab someone in the secondary or two. Those definitely are the three keys whenever we get to the draft. But otherwise, looking at other things in the draft, there's a lot of talk about who should be the first quarterback taken off the board, Winston, Mariota. We've seen them both succeed immensely throughout these last 2 years, Mariota even longer than that, up at Oregon. And just as we talk about with DGB, we got the character issues but with Winston, but they still have him going number one.
I think for Mariota, every quarterback except for one quarterback right now is a system quarterback in the NFL. Peyton Manning is the only non-system quarterback. Manning makes his own system. Brady's in Belichick's system, and that's really worked for him. Manning makes his own. Mariota will have to be in a certain system. He won't work in every system. You'll have to play to his strengths. Probably more along a Kaepernick or Wilson type strength. You're going to have to go with him. Winston has the tools, the size, everything you want in a quarterback. But you have the off the field, the maturity issues with Winston. I think with him you can work with those. But he's still got a lot of dirt behind him. A lot of ghosts in the closet that are right there. People know he's been in the spotlight. He's won a national title. He's won a Heisman. He has all this spotlight, and he didn't do well with it. He didn't, I don't want to say accept it. He accepted it, but he did not live up to what he had to do. He had to be a role model in college, whether he wanted to or not. He was a public figure. He had to watch what he did. He did not do that very well. So I think that's the one thing that may put Mariota over the top over him. But at the same time, I think by the time we get to Combine a couple weeks away in February, Mariota could slip. He could be exposed there in the combine. Winston could be phenomenal in the combine and say he is for sure number one. But I think Winston's a better quarterback. But off the field, he's got a lot of issues.
Well, I just got done saying I wouldn't give DGB a second chance in the first round. Jameis Winston, first of all, I'm not really sure I want either of them as a top pick. I mean, I don't know. This draft's hard, but
it's a deep draft, but not for that number one guy.
Yeah, it's like, not clear
cut. Like we saw with when the Chiefs had it,
Eric Fisher. Yeah.
Yeah, that was brutal. Wasn't a
deep draft, but nothing spectacular.
But Jameis is a little bit different than DGB in this sense. He hasn't been convicted of anything. It's a lot of maturity issues, yes, rather than, you know, actual criminal.
It's like a
issues.
Johnny Manziel, yeah, type deal.
Yes, and like he hasn't gotten in trouble with drugs either, though. It's just all kind of him doing stupid things.
He's had the alleged sexual assault. He had the stealing of the crab legs.
Yeah, well, he did still
crap. He stood up in a lunchroom and yelled an explicit phrase that we're not allowed to say.
And that was just kind of a more maturity factor. Yeah. I mean, it happens, but when you're the quarterback of Florida State, you cannot do things like this.
But if I had to pick one, I'm picking Winston 100%, because he played in a pro-style system. He lost one game in college football in that system. It will be a smooth transition, much more than Mariota. I'm a real believer in Winston's play on the field. Obviously, he's got some maturity issues, and I hope that that's all that is maturity issues,
right,
rather than, you know, deeper things than that.
And something else that's going to be interesting to watch out of this draft is something that we've even seen on the college landscape coming up more, and has evolved in really one of the key positions in the NFL, which is that of the defensive line, from the D-tackles out to the D-ends especially. Six, possibly seven people that are on that D-line might be drafted in that first 10. One of those includes Shane Ray out of Mizzou. I think they got him going at number 5 right now. And, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen Don Terry Poe make an immense impact, more than I think we all thought he was going to make instantly down in Kansas City. We've seen what J.J. Watt can do. That dude's a freak. And with all the guys that got up in Buffalo and everything, it looks at even more and more that these teams are putting, you know, much more emphasis now on the defensive line, making sure that they get maybe then surrounding with cornerbacks like we've seen what Seattle do. It really seems like it's kind of a changing of the guard, and especially because there's so much talent coming out of that position in college.
Well, the reason for that is because it's a passing league,
yeah.
And whenever teams pass a lot, you need corners and you need defensive ends to rush or outside linebackers to rush the quarterback, and so that's why it's so important. But it all, like you said, it's very deep. So the Chiefs got Don Terry Poe in like the 13th or 14th pick. J.J. Watt went about the same in the draft.
By the way, I hated the Don Terry Poe pick when we did it.
Oh, I think we all did.
Yeah, it was horrible.
He had the best combine of all time. Anyways,
second team All Conference USA. You don't want that at top 12 pick, 13 pick. But go on.
We're okay with it now.
Turned out great.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important, but. Also, with those in mind, like J.J. Watt and Don Terry Poe, you feel like a lot of those guys can be somewhat late bloomers, you know, because college offensive lines are obviously so much easier to go up against. So if they perform at a high level in college, sometimes you have to take it with a grain of salt. But yes, I think it'd be awesome for teams to get these talented guys like, you know, Jadeveon Clowney. We don't know how he's going to work out, but... In the top 10, but as we've seen, they can kind of come out of nowhere, and you can get them later in the draft.
Now, Chris, looking ahead to the rest of this offseason, what are you looking at to be the key headline, the key thing that we need to watch over these next couple months?
I think there's two, one local and one national headline. The local is the contract of Justin Houston. Either he's going to be franchised or going to the long-term deal. Luckily, they got Smith squared away.
Luckily,
last year that way they had to deal with both Smith and Houston right now, because honestly I'm not a fan of Smith's contract, but you would have to franchise him this year if he didn't get the contract last year, which would mean Houston would probably not get that contract this year. And then on the national stage, I think it's Johnny Manziel. As much as I don't like his quarterback play, he entered the rehabilitation. He's admitted there's issues. I think for a while he didn't want to admit that he had problems. He was just a 22-year-old kid, I believe, 22, 23-year-old kid, just enjoying life, playing in the NFL. And people were making fun of him on Twitter for going to rehab and going through the whole process. But that's probably the best thing for him at this point. He sees where it could be heading. And where it could be heading is out of a job, out of Cleveland. If you don't make it in Cleveland as a quarterback, that basically says you're not making the NFL as a quarterback, because Cleveland has went through, I think, over 20 quarterbacks in 12 years.
You can go to Oakland.
Yeah, you can go to Oakland, but they have a really good young quarterback, I think. They have Jacksonville, they have Bortles, but there's not many teams that would take Manziel. I mean,
kind of like a Tebow.
Yeah.
He's Tebow on the field, and I think that, yeah, I like that.
Analogy.
Yeah, analogy. Lost the word again, but... Manziel's the one to watch. No matter how much we all hate the Johnny football talk, the next step for Manziel is going to be crucial, what he does this offseason. Who knows? He may turn into an average to good quarterback who's a pretty good leader on the field. Or this rehabilitation will work, but his football career just goes down. Regardless, rehabilitation for Johnny Manziel is probably the best thing he can do right now.
Yeah, my two biggest headlines would have to be, one, Peyton Manning. What's he doing? You know, I think people are kind of, it's kind of gone by the wayside a little bit. I'm not really sure why, because if he retires, that's going to rock the world. And I don't think people are necessarily ready for that. You know, one of the best quarterbacks of all time could be ending his career, or he could be going out for one last hoorah like John Elway did back in the day. My second headline, well, obviously, I want to see what happens to Justin Houston. And it's over talked about, but Deflategate.
Yeah.
If they prove something, that the Patriots did something, and Tom Brady gets suspended, which will happen if they get proven, that could also rock the world.
Since we're on Deflategate, something will come down to this, but I don't think Brady's going to take the fall. It's going to be that manager kid or whoever it was.
Some intern in the locker room.
Yes, they're going to be the one that takes the blunt of this.
I don't know, though, because what about the Saints thing? Like, like a lot of people that weren't necessarily involved got suspended.
He's gonna Brady might not take the blunt of it from the NFL, but how much of it is he gonna take from us as viewers and the media?
I'm gonna look at him probably the same way I always have, because the simple fact that no one could tell me that the other 31 quarterbacks in the league do not do something similar, whether they overinflate the football because it feels better, underinflate it like Brady's been doing. And people still argue that Indianapolis could have won that game. No, it was in the first half of 17-7 when the ball was deflated, I believe. Second half, they were re-measured, put the proper air back in them. Second half, they scored 28 points.
They just beat the defending champs. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if something does come out, who knows what could happen as far as suspensions go.
Is it tarnish Brady's legacy for you too?
No.
The dude's won 4 Super Bowls. Absolutely not.
Okay, yeah. Same here. Belichick, Brady, one of the top 2 duos, I think, of all time. Brady may be the greatest quarterback of all time.
What's your other top duo?
Montana and Walsh out there in San Francisco.
Can't argue with that.
I don't think anybody else on that level at this point. If Favre and Holmgren would have won a couple of Super Bowls in the 90s.
Manning would have won a couple more, him and Dungy.
Yeah, that would have been up there, but you don't have the other duos like you do. I mean, Bradshaw.
I don't think he's good enough. I just think his team was that good.
Who?
Bradshaw's.
Bradshaw, that's fair. I'll take that one, because Bradshaw's numbers weren't great. Pittsburgh is a very good team.
It'd be like Russell Wilson winning 4. You wouldn't put him up there with Brady.
That's fair.
With Bradshaw, should we bring our sports reporter Jacob Landon here and debate that?
Because he may put him as the greatest quarterback of all time.
We could have a Steelers show with him.
I don't want to have a Steelers show ever.
Well, we're going to come back to that in a second. I want us to talk about the salary cap era and how that factors in to where we put quarterbacks all time, but. My two biggest offseason headlines, obviously we got one local and another national. A national one is how much are the Seahawks going to be able to keep their team that's brought them to 2 straight Super Bowls intact? They got Byron Maxwell, who could be on his way out. Malcolm Smith, who was a Super Bowl MVP whenever they won. Kevin Williams, a big force on the defensive line, as well as Brandon Mebane. They got Zach Miller, one of their tight ends. He had a little bit of a down season this year. They're going to have to step up and pay Russell Wilson this year and next year. They're going to have to step up and pay Marshawn if they're going to want to keep him after next year. They've already given the bucks to Sherman. They're floating the money around to the guys that have helped them succeed these last 2 years, and I just don't know how much they're going to be able to get that Patriots mentality, just like we've seen from Brady, where he's taking the less money to win a Super Bowl. And I saw a stat, random stat the other day. I'm pretty sure he's the only quarterback that on his contract that's been making more than $10 million that has won a Super Bowl at that time of making $10 million. It's kind of interesting to think about, because Peyton Manning wasn't on a big contract whenever he won it, and with the Colts, he was on a good one, but he wasn't making more than $10 million. So that's just kind of interesting to think about. And then my other big headline is, what are the Chiefs going to do? I mean, we obviously got the free agency of Justin Houston, but what are they going to do as far as bringing in free agents? We know that wide receiver, we talked about, is going to be a big, big issue with them in the draft, but what kind of splash are they going to try to make in free agency? We got a number of guys that they should be going after, and Randall Cobb, possibly Macklin, Michael Crabtree. I think you get a couple guys out of the draft, and if you can get one, maybe two of those guys in free agency as well, then that shifts the whole focus of your offense, and that could be huge for them.
I think the one of those three that's most likely would be Macklin. I don't see Cobb leaving the Green Bay offense. It's too good to leave to go play.
Jordy's getting paid so much, though. He's not going to be able to get paid the way he wants.
I think if I'm Randall Cobb, I look at it this way. You're playing with probably the best quarterback in the league right now in Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. One of the best teams in the league. You, Nelson, Lacy, and Rodgers on the offensive side. There's not many better than that. Do you go to the Chiefs? I'm a Chiefs fan, but do you go to the Chiefs where it's
Alex,
you, Jamal Charles, and then Alex Smith? Nothing wrong with Alex Smith, but
I put Kelsey ahead of
Kelsey. You got De'Anthony Thomas up there somewhere soon.
But I don't think if I'm Randall Cobb, I don't leave. I'm Cobb. Macklin, I may leave. Who's your quarterback? Foles? I've heard that they may be maybe trying to trade Foles. They're going to go with Mark Sanchez as their quarterback, or is Chip Kelly going to somehow
Mariota
throw his whole draft into Mariota and go up for number one or two spot? I don't think that's I wouldn't do that. Philly would be the worst place to be at that point because Philly would be mad if you put everything into Mariota and it didn't work. So I think Macklin's the one that may leave his team because honestly they have a couple other receivers out there that towards the end of the season Sanchez liked more than him. I mean, you had Cooper, you had Matthews. He threw to them quite a bit. I should know. I had Macklin on my fantasy team. He threw to those guys quite a bit towards down the stretch. So Macklin, I think, is the one that would leave. And Crabtree, if he can get back on the right track, I don't know if Smith can throw the ball that far to get it to him.
We really don't know if he can throw the ball that far.
No. He's going to need someone like Macklin who can throw the quick slant route, get him go, and just chuck it maybe once or twice a game to see if Thomas or Charles or Macklin come down with it.
And Reed might have that influence to be able to lure him in here. I mean,
that's
Macklin
the big
played
one.
Under him for a number of years. So
that's the big
might be interesting to look at. And so now we've had this salary cap era for a little bit, about 20 years. Before we bring in Brody McMahon and Jacob Sosik, newest signings for Northwest football, where is Brady on the all-time list after this fourth Super Bowl win? He's gone to 6 in 14 years.
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go. I mean, it's so hard because we weren't alive for, you know, the glory days of Montana and things like that. But Brady, he's been to 6,
yeah,
which is more than Montana went to. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's relevant that Montana was 4-for-4. I'd rather take 4 and 4-for-6 because you went to more. That's mm-hmm. better. He won more. He won more championship games. You know, the semifinals.
Right.
But Brady is playing in a bit of an easier era, maybe because of all the passing. And I just think like it took him the full 6 to pass Joe Montana in touchdown passes in the Super Bowl game. I think I still go Montana, to be honest with you, just because of the era, even though Tom Brady is my favorite quarterback of all time.
I'm going to go with Brady. I think Brady's probably the greatest of all time. It's a 1A, 1B type thing. Montana's right there with him. I didn't get to watch Montana live, obviously, because I wasn't alive much of Montana's era. But Brady's receiving core was so mediocre. Still probably mediocre except for Gronkowski. Edelman had a great game in the Super Bowl. But the early years, there's a lot of defense. Teddy Bruschi, you had a lot of guys on the defensive side that made the difference. Brady's done it with Deion Branch, Randy Moss for 1 year. Ben Watson, I think, was third all-time on Brady's touchdown receiving list. Ben Watson had, I think, 22 touchdowns on his list. Brady's done it, I think, with less offensive weapons. He's very smart with the football. The argument can be made, I'll make it, that he should be 3 out of 6 in Super Bowls if Pete Carroll wouldn't have called the play on second down.
But he could also be six out of six.
Because the other two,
Manningham and Tyree,
catches that Tyree will never make again if you try that play. That won't happen like that again. Manning more than likely would have been called sacked or there would have been a holding call on that play. Manningham's catch. And then you had, was it Curse that caught this one? Seattle, they got him down inside like the 70-yard line. At that point, I thought, here we go again. They're going to be beaten on a 1 out of 100 shot pass play. But Brady in the Super Bowl, he was down 10 in the second half. Coming back from 10.
Going into the fourth.
Yeah, going into the fourth quarter. I don't think any other quarterback's done in the Super Bowl, I believe. Mm-hmm. Down 10, you bring the comeback back. Gronkowski was a factor. He had a touchdown, but Brady did with everybody in that fourth quarter. He used Edelman quite a bit. There was a question about the concussion, whether or not he had one. He probably should have had one if he didn't. But Brady's done it with, I think, less than what Montana did. And that's nothing taken away from Montana. I think Brady, 4 Super Bowls, 6 appearances. He gets 2 MVPs on the Super Bowl.
3 now.
Three Super Bowl MVPs. Yeah.
I will say this. I think the Patriots are the best team ever. The best era of a team, you know what
dynasty,
I'm saying?
Dynasty, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I would love to call them a dynasty. It's just that it took them 10 years to win another one. But yeah, it's the best 15-year span of all time. I don't know the actual numbers on that. But the one year they didn't make the playoffs, they went 11-5. That pretty much is their dynasty in a nutshell.
Yeah, they're up there with the legacy of the Cowboys teams, the old Pittsburgh teams.
But did you feel like the Cowboys, like they did it for like 5 years? This team's on it for 15.
Yeah. Cowboys had a lot more weapons. Troy Aikman had a lot of weapons.
That stuck around.
Yeah, that team was remarkable. Yet Pittsburgh, I'm forgetting a dynasty team. Somewhere.
Belichick might stem off of that Cowboys.
I think he's on the Parcells tree.
I know that him and Jimmy Johnson are like best friends.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be amazing to come back and see Parcells, especially Parcells tree.
Yeah.
Because everybody comes off that one. Because Belichick has everybody come off him.
And then, like you said, it could have been – I can't remember the Patriots, how the first 3 Super Bowls ended. I know 2 of them were off field goals.
Three were decided by 4 points or less.
So we look at that. But the 2 last-second field goals – it could have gone either way, where Brady could be 6-6. He could be 1-6. He could be 0-6. They've all been within 4. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous seeing how much he's been able to do. And, I mean, it's hard for us to compare them.
It's going to be hard to watch him leave.
He said he's playing until 70.
I believe it.
I can believe he'll play 4 more years. I think he could go to 40,
I think so
42
too.
42 or 43.
Especially with the way they run their offense. He doesn't have to be mobile or anything.
Especially his lifestyle. If you guys ever read that Sports Illustrated, they did a full thing on Brady's. He wakes up, I think, like 5 or 6. He goes to bed by 9. He's got everything down to a science, what he does. Now he has multiple millions of dollars, so he can eat the way he does, and everything fit into that time span. But Brady could play 4 or 5 more years.
Hey, his wife brings in quite a bit of money.
Yeah, she also helps a lot, too.
She helps. Yeah. I don't think he really goes to bed at 9 o'clock.
She helps him go to bed.
Shut up.
Now, we're about to bring in Brody and Jacob. Chris, I'm going to give you one last chance. They're talking about 2K out there. You still going on the under on Kyle Korver?
I'll go over, I guess. I'll change it. Not over by that much. The part talk about it a little bit more. Bringing up Kyle Korver just odd to me. I don't know why, but it's just odd talking about Kyle Korver that much, so I'll go over barely.
Okay.
Just barely.
We got Jacob Sosik and Brody McMahon, the Spoof Hounds turn Bearcats, just going across town here with us. How you guys doing tonight?
Not too bad.
Doing pretty good.
So what's the last 24 hours been like for you guys?
It's been fun. I mean, people just tweeting, saying congratulations every day, and just it's been fun just knowing people care that much.
You guys' phone's been blowing up.
Yeah, I've had some texts, and I went to Walmart a little bit ago and 2 people shook my hand, so I don't know who they were. But that was pretty cool.
So you know, what was the driving force behind the decisions? I'm sure you guys had, you know, a few other places you could go. What was it about Northwest?
I mean, just hometown, just staying here and getting to play for Coach Doral and all the coaches that we've known for several years, and just getting to hang out with people that we've known our whole lives, just doing that all day.
Was there ever a time whenever you guys weren't sure you wanted to remain in Maryville, or was it pretty much a easy decision?
I think it's kind of an easy decision. Like, I've always wanted to be a Bearcat. We've grown up here. I live right down the road, so I'm a big Bearcat fan. I've been to every game, so it's pretty cool just to be able to play for the team you grew up watching.
Have you guys lived here your whole lives?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's going to be like? I mean, we don't know if you guys are going to be playing next year. Might be getting redshirted by Doral. He tends to do that with a lot of the players. Whenever you guys step on that field for the first time, what do you guys think is going to be running through your minds, knowing that you're playing in front of your family, people you've gone to school with for years, people that you've known throughout the community, and you guys have grown up watching people on that very field? What do you think that's going to be like?
I think everyone's going to support us. Like, Maryville's pretty good at that. It's a big football town. Whatever happens, they'll be supportive if we play, if we don't play, whatever. But Yeah, after the game, a whole bunch of people will know us, I think, come up to us and congratulate us, and it'll be a lot of fun.
How much do you enjoy that? You call it a football town, and it clearly is. I grew up in Blue Springs, Missouri. It's a football town, I would say, but when I come here, it seems like it's like a Texas town, you know, something you'd see in Friday Night Lights or something. What's it been like, you know, growing up with that, and, you know, you guys are going to continue to do that. What is that like?
I mean, it's pretty cool because you play a game on Friday night and there's people on the field congratulating you, and then you go to town or something on Saturday and you see somebody that you may not even know and they're congratulating you on your win Friday night. And I mean, you don't know whether they were at the game or not, but they're paying attention, and it's just really neat to have people care that much about you.
You call Blue Springs a football town? You ever been through Platte County?
Please.
But anyways, Jacob, you talked a little bit about the relationship. You guys are excited to play for Doral and some of the coaches that you have known for years. What's that relationship been like? And then how do you think that's going to help you in your time here at Northwest?
I mean, they've kind of just been like our friends for the past few years. I mean, you see them in the community, say hi. You say hi to them after games, congratulations, stuff like that. But it changed a little bit when they kind of started recruiting us. I mean, it became more of their college coach that's going to help us get to where we want to be. But, I mean, we're still, like, I kind of look to them as just, I don't know, figures in the community, and just kind of have to figure out that they're going to be my coach. And it's pretty cool because, I mean, we know them fairly well, and just getting to play for them every day and knowing what they're about and stuff like that.
And then how much did you guys talk to either your former teammates that have gone other places or people that are, you know, that are on the football team right now that helped influence your decision at all?
I didn't talk to them too much, but, like, Jackson and Trent, you know, I know that they're here and they're having a lot of fun, and, like, JB and Mather and all those guys, you know, that's kind of comforting too. Just, like, right off the bat, we'll know a few people, kind of get us in the groove, but, yeah, they seem to be having a lot of fun, so...
Just out of curiosity, Brody, is it 100% you're playing running back, you're not going to play any safety at all?
I don't know.
Have you ever thought about that?
I mean, yeah, I've thought about it. I'll do whatever they want me to do. I mean, I like defense too, but so far running back, I think.
What's better, hitting the wide receiver and slapping him down on the ground or breaking through for a touchdown?
Oh, breaking through for a touchdown, I think.
You did that a little bit, especially on punt returns and whatnot. We saw plenty of that. Another thing, I saw you come in here today. You have the Bearcat shirt on. As of yesterday, you wearing that means something more than it did before. Before, it was just you wearing it. You're a fan. You grew up in this town. And now you're wearing that, and that you're representing this university because you're going to be a part of it next year. What's that feel like?
Well, I think I committed, and then the next day I think I went and got this jacket. So, I don't know. It's pretty cool to be representing Northwest now, to be able to call yourself a Bearcat. It's pretty cool.
Have you guys thought a little bit about what you guys are going to do once you get here? Are you guys going to try to live on campus anywhere? What are you guys going to be majoring? You guys thought that far yet?
I want to major in, like, business management and something like that, and minor in sports management. Hopefully take it. Mel's job someday.
What about you, Brady?
I'll probably do the same thing and take Jacob's job. I don't know, something business, but I'm not for sure yet.
And how much do you guys think that you're going to still be supporting your spoof hounds once you guys are up here?
I'm going to be that guy that always comes back to the games, that creepy guy that's like, why are you here, man? You graduated, but I don't know, I'll go support them. I like watching them, and I know them all, so that'll be pretty neat to go cheer them on.
What would you guys say was the biggest moment or the biggest highlight looking back at your four years at Maryville? What's that moment that really stands out to you?
I think state championship junior year was probably the best because it was just one of those things. The first year was really fun, but getting the second one was kind of different because, I mean, not a lot of people get to play even for one, but winning the second one was something special.
What about you, Brody?
Oh, all the years were kind of fun. In my sophomore year, I played up, and in that state championship game, I had a pretty good game, and that was cool to just play my best for the seniors you know, because it wasn't really my job in the first place. But then the next year is pretty special playing with those guys too. And like Jacob said, and then last year, or this year, I guess, it was pretty fun too. We broke some records. We didn't finish how we wanted to, but it was a lot of fun still.
And then just as you're going to, when you're with Doral here, you guys are playing for a hometown kid. You guys have had that experience with Matt Webb. What kind of things has Webb gave you guys advice about in the whole process that you guys went to choosing this?
Just he wanted us to find somewhere where we were really wanted and where we wanted to be. I mean, he didn't want us to go somewhere where, oh yeah, you guys come play here, but we may not know your name the first few weeks. I think out here, I mean, they're gonna know every recruit coming in the door, and they're gonna know everything about them. So that's just one thing I think that he just wanted us to be somewhere where the coaches really want us, and we're kind of a part of everything.
You guys, a lot of attention's around you guys because, you know, you guys live here. But as far as the other recruits go, how do you guys feel about this year's class? Do you know much about them and, you know, things like that?
Oh, I don't know too much about them. I've seen, like, in the paper, I've seen the list of all the guys and watched some of their huddles. And I think we've got some good talent, but it'll be fun to play with some new guys.
You see that on our website?
Yeah.
Good man. Good man. He's already suckering up to us. We're not going to be here next year.
Hold on, I got one more. So, Brody, I've been wanting to ask, how did you receive all the athletes of the week all those weeks out of our paper? Did you get a lot of attention around that? Or
I don't know. It's pretty cool to get that, but that's funny that, you know, you guys wrote that paper telling me that I couldn't get it anymore.
Yeah, I got a lot of heat for that, you know.
Our advisor advised us to stop making you as Athlete of the Week. Some of that administration's getting a little upset about it. And then you wrote it, and I think we made him Athlete of the Week again, like, the next week or something.
Yeah. You were just retired for 1 week. Who did I give it to? Payton that week? Payton Nelson?
I think so, and then it went right back to him. So I think you got a couple more athletes the week, and, yeah, you got five more years to do it anyway.
I hope so.
So what do you guys – last question before we get into talking some sports. What are you guys each looking forward to most in this next year when you officially become a Bearcat?
I think just kind of getting to know the players in our class. That's going to be fun because it's kind of like high school. You know, you'll be with those guys for 4 or 5 years, and you'll be hanging out with them every day, working your butts off with them, and just getting to know them and what they're about and seeing what we can do on the field.
What are you excited for?
Yeah, probably just the same thing, like getting to know those guys. I'm sure there's some cool guys, and, you know, just watching the we're gonna redshirt, so just watching some of the games and seeing how it all, like, what college football is all about, and seeing how good we can be.
And then away from your guys' time on the field, how much do you guys get to pay attention to sports? I mean, you guys have had this decision juggling where you guys are gonna be. You guys have been on the field, winning a bunch of games over the last 3 or 4 years. What are some of your other favorite teams that you guys like to follow in other sports?
I'm a Chiefs fan, and I like Nebraska a lot.
I'm a Chiefs fan and Mizzou fan. I went to a few Chiefs games and a few Mizzou games this year. So,
what did you guys think about that play call by Pete Carroll last Sunday?
Who says he made the call?
I've never played football. I don't know. But.
I'm a running back. I'm giving it to Lynch.
He is a DB coach, so he might have not made the call, but I don't know.
Would you be mad if that was Webb's call in the state championship and you didn't get the ball?
I don't think he would dare to do that.
I don't think so either. So you're a big Scurs fan. You follow Mizzou. How much do you guys think you're going to be able to keep up, or how much do you guys think you will keep up with them next year, even though you're going to be playing a division down from them?
No, I think it'll be kind of the same because, I mean, you'll be busy still, but there's always time to find a little bit of Sports Center here and there and just keep up with things.
You talk about redshirting for your watching the guys and everything. What's your guys' goal for that year while you're not playing? Obviously, it's to get bigger and things like that. Any others?
I think in practice, taking some taking some reps against the guys, taking some game speed reps, and seeing how fast the game is. Like, I don't want to be a hanger backer. Try to get some, just get some reps there and see how fast it is.
You guys take pride in, are you guys kind of looking forward to, you know, I know a lot of guys in the past, that you know, they hand out, like, Scout Team Player of the Year. Is that something that you guys really want to give the first team a good look for and try to win something like that?
For sure. I mean, just winning stuff like that, it's going to help not only the team when it comes down to it and big game or something, but it might help you later on, because, I mean, if you're playing somebody like Yost every day, I mean, there's no way you're not going to get better, because, I mean, somebody like that's best in the nation, and you're definitely going to get better, and then when it's your turn to step up, you'll be ready.
Who's been your favorite Bearcat to watch over the years?
I like Chevy.
Probably like Xavier, or Billy Creason. Maybe Billy Creason.
How do you feel about Doral's comparison to Billy Creason?
I'm honored, man. he's a great player. He can run, catch, block. If I can fit those shoes, I'd be happy.
But you know much about Phil Jackson or Cameron Wilcox? Have you got a chance to, you know, watch them play?
I've watched them play. I've talked to him a little bit, but not too close, I guess.
Got anything else you want to ask him, Tyler?
No, I'm good.
All right, now let's get into our picks of the week. After 3 weeks, yours truly is in last place. I had another heartbreaking week last week. I picked North Carolina. They were up by 18 with 10 minutes to go in Louisville on the road, and they took out Marcus Page and blew that lead and made one shot in the last 15 and a half minutes of that game. So,
ouch, that'll hurt.
You're welcome, Tyler. So Chris can't be in here for our picks today. He's working upstairs, so thanks for skipping out on us, Chris. But our first pick, we got number 10, Notre Dame. They're going to go on the road to number 4, Duke. What do you think, Tyler?
I'm going to go with Notre Dame. You know, I'm a Notre Dame football fan, but I'll ride with their basketball team. I'll put 5 points on it.
What do you think, Jacob?
I'm going to take Duke. I mean, Cameron Crazies. I don't know how you're going to beat that. I'll put 6 on that.
How do they compare to the Spoofhound Loyals that you guys get out there?
Our Spoofhound Loyals are probably better. I mean, honestly, put them up one for one. We'll win that all day.
Ready?
I'm going 10 on Duke. You know, they got a Coach K, and we used to have a Coach K. So go Duke all the way. It's my only week here, so all 10 points.
Duke, they 1 week they do good for me, the next they do bad. So I'm just going to stay away from them again this week. I'm going to go Notre Dame, going to go 6. Jerry and Gant, he's going to pull it out this week. That dude's a stud. And Chris, his words exactly, can't go against Duke at home for 5. So he's got Duke. Next, we got number 9, Louisville. They're going on the road. Oh, these ACC schools are tearing up the top 10. Jeez. Yeah. Number 9, Louisville, going on the road to number 3, Virginia. Number 3, Virginia lost last week to Duke. You see them bouncing back this week, Tyler?
Yeah, I'll take West Virginia. They still got Bobby Huggins, don't they?
Who said West Virginia? We said Virginia.
Virginia?
The Cavs.
Just kidding. Virginia. I'll take Virginia, too. They're going to bounce back from their first loss of the season, and I'll put 5 points on it.
What about you, Brody?
Louisville, the underdog, 10 points.
Sossick.
You can't win if you can't score, so I'll take Virginia, 10.
Yeah. Again, Louisville's a team that kills me. Duke and Louisville, I can never pick right with them, so I'm just going to hope that Virginia holds on at home this time. I'm going to go Virginia for 5.
You guys do know if you lose, you have to put something embarrassing on social media, right?
All Brody posts is embarrassing things. So I mean,
yeah, that's not too big of a deal.
And then Chris, he said, I don't believe in Virginia for 6. They're ranked 3rd in the country. They won 19 in a row. You got to put some faith in
them. He hasn't shown up 2 weeks in a row.
That's okay.
He didn't know.
So he's got Virginia for 6. We got the Warriors at the Hawks. It's an even line. You got number 1 in the East, number 1 in the West. Tyler.
I'm going to take the Warriors. I'm going to take the Warriors. Steph Curry, what did he put up, 51 last night?
26 in the third quarter.
Yeah, okay. And Klay Thompson can obviously put up 37 in the quarter. So I'm going to go with the Warriors. I'm going to put 7 on it.
Jacob?
I'm going to take Kyle Korver because, I mean, if you play any NBA 2K game, you're going to pick Kyle Korver because, I mean, he doesn't miss. So I'll take the Hawks. I'll put 5 on it.
Who wins in 2K, you or Brody?
Me. I win in every game ever. He's bad.
There's no truth to that, Brody?
No truth. He's lying to your faces.
What are you thinking, Brody? Warriors at Hawks?
I'm going Warriors because the Splash Brothers. And, you know, we've got a Warriors in the MEC, so let's rep the MEC 10 points Warriors.
Hopefully he doesn't have a negative 50 this week. That might be bad.
Can you put 10 on everything?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Go big or go home.
Who'd you said Warriors?
Yeah, Splash.
I'll go Warriors, too.
Okay, and, copycat.
And I like Brody's mentality. Whenever my freshman year in high school, we were still in the MEC, you know. Smithville, I hated them. And, you know, you gotta rep the MEC. So I'm going 10. 10 for the Warriors. Yes. And then we got the Los Angeles Clippers tonight, Thursday, at the Cavs. Cavs are a 5-point favorite. Tyler.
I hate the Cavs. I hate LeBron. Go Clippers. I'll put 8.
Jacob.
I also hate LeBron, just like I hate Brody. So I'll take the Clippers.
4-10?
Yeah, 10 for sure.
Brody?
Oh, I kind of like LeBron. He's not too bad of a basketball player. So I'll go 10 for the Cavs.
We didn't tell them that they're added into the guest column. If Matt Wallace and Grant did pretty good in here, so they might be mad at you guys if you bring their net totals down. Chris said, these are two fun teams to watch, but the chemistry with L.A. is too much for the Cavs. 4. He has great
grammar. Thanks for your insight, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Next time, show up.
He knows. Really. He knows.
So he's got 4 on L.A. LeBron, he's a good ball player. You know, he can score, he can dish, he can rebound.
He knows how to dribble.
I think he's going to put up a triple-double. So I'm taking the Cavs.
I think DeAndre Jordan's going to punk him.
I got Cavs for 5. Oh, and by the way, I didn't say, but Chris is picking the Warriors over the Hawks, too. He says both teams are fun and exciting to watch.
Oh, he said that again?
He said that
Tell
again.
Tell him to stop copy and pasting.
Show up, Chris. And then our last pick of the week, we got the Hawks, number 1 in the East.
Wait, we already said the Hawks.
This is on Sunday. Okay. They're going on the road to Memphis, the Grizzlies, number 2 in the West. Slow down your roll, Tyler.
If I take the Grizzlies, that would mean the Hawks will lose 2 in a row after winning 19 in a row?
Well, no, they lost, and then they won again. They're 18 games away.
So
they'd
be 2 in a row since I picked the...
Yeah, so they'd go 19, one loss, a win. And 2 losses. You think they're going to lose 3 out of 4?
Yeah. I think the Grizzlies... Well, they both play good defense. I'll take the Grizzlies. I'm a Gasol kind of guy. Usually I'm a Powell guy, but I'll take Mark. I'm going to put 6 on it.
Jacob?
Still Kyle Korver. Still better than Brody, 2K. And still the Hawks for 10.
Brody?
I think they're both going to lose. I don't know. Probably.
Well, they can't both lose.
If one had to win, probably be the Hawks because Kyle Korver. Because Kyle Korver, because I'm better at 2K. If you give me Kyle Korver, I'll splash with Kyle Korver. 10
so
points.
If you guys play Hawks versus Hawks in 2K, who wins?
I'll hit more threes with Kyle Korver.
I'll score more points, though, so I win.
And then Chris, if you guys didn't know already, he's not here today. But his Chris, you got to show up, man. Chris's great insight to this game. The battle of top teams from each conference. That's not true. The Warriors are top in the West, so.
You said that like 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it will be close, but Atlanta will bounce back from the loss to Golden State. So he's going against you, Chris. He's got the Hawks for 4.
He's got the Hawks for four.
He
picked the Warriors the first time, and then now the Hawks.
Yeah.
Chris doesn't sound like any fun.
You don't have to worry about meeting him. He's a senior, so he won't be here next year.
Good.
This is going to be a good game. Like you said, Kyle Korver, he's really good in real life and 2K. And the Grizzlies, they're just a good, good fundamental team. They're like a little bit of a younger Spurs, and I like Mike Conley. But I think, is he still out? Is he injured still?
I don't know. Let's just talk more about Kyle Korver.
Okay, 2K. So I'm gonna go with the Maryville boys, and I'm gonna go Kyle Korver. He's gonna go off 40.
He dunks every 2 years though, so don't count on that. He just did it a couple weeks ago.
So Kyle Korver, he's gonna go off for about 40 on the road. Get them back. They're only gonna be 18 wins away from a 19 game win streak after this one. I'm going Hawks 4-6.
Who knows how this week's picks are going to go?
This is going to be all over the place. Chris, you got to come back, man. We're losing it down here 2 weeks in a row. But, again, Brody, Jacob, thanks for coming on the show this week. We wish you the best of the luck over your career at Northwest, and thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yep. Stay out of, or get in the weight room, stop playing 2K.
You can play 2K. It's not that hard.
Play just 2K while I bench.
I can do that in my sleep.
E-Companion, just make it your best friend. Get those assignments done early, and then you got plenty of time for SportsCenter and 2K.
Sounds good.
Doral, you didn't hear that. They're not going to be playing 2K. But for Tyler and for Chris, I'm Brandon. You're listening to 3 Men and a Mic on NWMissouriNews.com.